Podcast. I am your host, Dalton Miller, joined as always by my co-host, Corey Cannon, and we are going over the AFC least today. I say that because it was a very top and bottom of this NFL draft when it comes to this division. The number one team, according to the media, in the composite GPAs for the NFL draft, the number 30th team for the composite grades, and then we had two teams smack dab in the middle with 17th and 13th according to the GPAs. I'm not doing this alone, though. I have my co-host Corey here with me. Corey, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm ready to get back into this, you know, third conference here we're hitting on here, so ready to get back into this. So
third division. There's only two conferences in football.
That's what I meant. Third division. Yeah. My bad. I'm also tired. Third division in that we've covered here. So let's dive right in, man. Let's get right into this here. Starting with, do you want to start at the bottom? Let's start at the bottom.
Yeah, let's start at the bottom.
Miami Dolphins, again, the cumulative 30th graded team here, tied with the Detroit Lions.
Which is probably good news, because if you're tied with the Detroit Lions, that means, the Lions had a good draft, because the Lions just do what they do and they pick good football players that are like not great positions of value. And so everybody's like, yeah, those are bad picks. And then they're just like really good football players for an already really good team. Anyways, the Miami Dolphins,
I mean, they had two top 50 picks and then didn't have another one until pick 143. Like, that's a tough draft to grade.
Well, I mean, no, I don't think it is, because I think you can draft the players that they took where they took them. And I think if you're looking at where at the players that they took where they took them, I think you overdrafted the first guy. But a lot of people don't necessarily believe that. A lot of people, there are people there that had Kenneth Grant neck and neck with Mason Graham on that defensive front. I didn't see it at all in any of the tape that I watched of the two of them. But you know what? If you think he's Jordan Davis 2.0, go for it. Because like I can't really think of any like, but is he? He's not, right? Like, because Jordan Davis was much more physically imposing, and like Vita Vea is a whole different level from both of them. Like, what is Kenneth Grant? Who is Kenneth Grant?
Yeah, and the thing also with Kenneth Grant is, like, they tried to hype him up as, like, he was going to be a top-end athlete at his size as well, like a freak of nature athlete at his size, and he really wasn't either. Like, he ran a 61st percentile 40-yard dash, again, at 331 pounds. Like, that's not lost on me, but, like, a 56th percentile broad, an 81st percentile vertical, a 49th percentile 10-yard split, and a 36th percentile bench press. So, like, there's not we were talking about this guy potentially being, like, close to a 10 RAS guy for his size is what people hyped him up to be. And then he didn't do anything at the combine, and then this is kind of what he did at his pro day. And so, and that's not to say that athletic testing makes or breaks a prospect, but, like, we were also low on Kenneth Grant this season, just in general. We were. And so, yeah, this is higher than we would have taken him, but wasn't. I don't think it was too high compared to consensus. Where was he on Arif's the industry consensus board?
I'm not sure, but here's what I will say. They might have made up for it with their fifth round pick, because they picked a dude who is a sand in his pants, a future one technique, who, I mean, I do think that there's going to be a lot of seasoning that needs to happen for Jordan Phillips to kind of round into the player that we both believe that he can be. I know you were incredibly high on him. I think he's a fantastic athlete who needs to still learn the position. And that's just going to come with time. He was a redshirt sophomore. I think that he probably should have stayed in school, especially because he ended up going in the fifth round. Yeah. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he is a really violent interior player with good athleticism. And he just, again, needs reps, needs to learn the position, and hopefully he's able to kind of get that mental trigger that he needs. But I they needed a guard. They needed a versatile offensive lineman, and they love versatile offensive linemen. And Jonas Vaihinai fit that bill to a T for them. So I think that that's a really good pick. And so you kind of made up for the overdraft of Kenneth Grant by getting good value, in my opinion, in Jordan Phillips. And then you had a perfectly acceptable value with Jonas Vaihinai. And I think when you look at the way that the rest of the league and media looked at Kenneth Grant, I think that you can look a little bit more kindly on this draft than probably we do overall.
Yeah, I was a huge Jordan Phillips guy. Getting him in the fifth round, I think, is awesome value. Again, he's 20 years old, man. He's 20 years old, and he is a physically imposing freak who is kind of shorter-armed as well, so he can get to dude's chests pretty quickly, and he's impossible to displace. So even for as raw as his eyes are, and I think there is some work to be done there, like, good luck just getting that guy out of a gap. It's not an easy task right now as well. And then Savinai, I think, is probably a little high where he's drafted, but when you consider the run that happened on offensive linemen in the top 35 ahead of that, like, I mean, we saw two guards go first round and Tyler Booker and Donovan Jackson, you know, we saw a bunch of tackles go in the first round. And so I think Savinai is probably that next up. You could argue Ariante Ursary, but they clearly wanted an interior offensive lineman here. So like, yeah. You can't argue too much with the Savinai pick. And then I think that's, like, honestly the last pick that you can really grade from this draft, because then they don't pick again until like 143 where they hit Phillips, and then 150 they hit Jason Marshall, cornerback out of Florida.
You know what this
draft anything outside of the top 150?
Yeah, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of, oh, I remember this guy was getting talked about as a top 50 prospect at one time, mm-hmm. because Jason Marshall Jr., Ollie Gordon, and Quinn Ewers all. At one point, like top 100, top 50 type of dudes over summer, or, you know, with Jason Marshall, it was two summers ago, people were talking about him because of the size, because of the athleticism. He's not a very good football player. The tape was never there for him. And the tape was never really there for Quinn Ewers, but I stand by the statement that this is a really good pick, because this is the type of offense that I think that he needed to be in. The problem, I think, is there needs to be more, like, there needs to be more given answers mm-hmm. in this offense. Like, I think somebody like Mike McDaniel can figure it out with him, but it can't be the same offense that Tua's running, because Tua is that attack over the middle guy, find the windows, and Quinn Ewers is not really that guy. Quinn Ewers needs those quick answers. It's the Mac Jones thing. It's the Steve Sarkisian offense thing. And weirdly, Ollie Gordon is not their type of running back. Outside of the fact that maybe his legs are cooked and he's going to get injured a lot. Like, that's, and he might not get injured. That's just me. I thought that he lost a ton of juice this year. And juice is pretty much all they look for in backs. So I was very interested in that selection overall. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and grade this one as we do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to give this one a D. Like,
yeah.
And I don't hate it, but like, I'm not going to give good grades to every single one of these teams. And right. I think this is one of those ones where I can legitimately see, like, they could have probably gone different places if it were me.
Yeah, there's definitely a big need in their secondary. So, like, I think Marshall and Trader make the team, but like, do any of Gordon Ewers Biggers make the team? I love Zeke Biggers.
Ewers, I mean, maybe because
they roster. I mean, he's definitely not going to beat out Zach Wilson for the backup job.
Dude, Zach Wilson is terrible.
I understand that. but he's been around for 5 years, and he was the backup for Sean Payton as well. And I think this is probably, I mean, they only have three quarterbacks on the roster as it is. So, yeah, I mean, Ewers probably makes the roster. But Wilson's going to be the backup.
Yeah, but he's bad.
Wilson at least has high-end tools.
Does he?
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
Has it ever once mattered at the NFL level?
No.
Exactly. No. So the tools, I don't care about the tools after 5 years.
Well, Ewers doesn't have anything. I don't think Ewers has anything, mental or physical.
Fair. He's not going to make the awful decision and turn the ball over, probably. Not like Zach Wilson. Anyways, I mean, what's your grade? Did you give him a D?
Yeah, I'm going to go real rough here. Dude, I have their depth chart up, and I need to redo this just because I need to get off my chest. And because, like, Jalen Ramsey has been reportedly on the trade market, and I don't know how they can trade him because their corners are Storm Duck, Cam Smith, Jason Marshall, Isaiah Johnson, Kader Kohu, Artie Burns, Jalen Ramsey, Ethan Bonner. Their safeties are Ifeatu Melifonwu, who I was once a big fan of coming out of the draft, Ashton Davis, Elijah Campbell, Dante Trader, Patrick McMorris. That is the worst list of names outside of Jalen Ramsey I have ever seen.
Well, Jalen Ramsey is half cooked, and yes. Kader Kohu is a good football player.
Yes, but that's two names out of nine.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. And they didn't draft a DB till round five. Again, they only had two top 125 picks, two top 140 picks here.
But... And one of them needed to be an offensive lineman because they need to keep Tua off of his head. So
yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Anyways,
let's
can move
on.
Yeah, let's move on. And we'll move on to Buffalo, who was 17th in the composite grades. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I kind of like this draft.
I think if you flip 41 and 72, you're on paper, you're like, yeah, this is a really good draft.
Yeah.
But even TJ Sanders at 41 is awful.
I think it's kind of awful. I didn't think he was very good, but I mean, it is what it is. I think getting Hairston at 30 was kind of what we expected. For the first time in ever, they actually drafted a corner that we projected them to potentially draft. TJ Sanders, I mean, I understand the upside, the appeal of him. But yeah, if you flip him and Landon Jackson, I feel a lot better about it. Dion Walker in round four, whatever. I mean, take a shot on a guy who he is a legitimately good pass rusher. Mm-hmm. He is a legitimately good pass rusher, especially for his size. He just isn't an every down player. He's not really even an early down player. And so now you're talking about like a 345-pound, 350-pound pass rusher. A little bit weird. Jordan Hancock, Jackson Halls, Dorian. I mean, I love the Dorian Strong. Like, this is where I really like the draft. On day three, Hancock, Halls, Strong, Lunt, Prather. Love this class. Love this class. And so for me, and Landon Jackson was one of my guys forever, and I was a big fan of Maxwell Harrison. So like, the only real issue I have in this entire draft is Sanders in round two, but they make up for it by getting Jackson in round three. So I'm going to be way nicer about this draft than the composite grades were.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about how we loved the Colts day three. This is an awesome day three haul too. This is awesome.
And the Bills did get a bunch of A grades on here as well. So it's not like everybody hated them. They just gave everybody else nicer grades overall.
Watch this in classic Bills fashion. Dorian Strong ends up starting over Maxwell Hairston and playing significant snaps like Benford did over Elam.
It would make a ton of sense because Hairston is a guy who's going to go and chase people around, and Dorian Strong is a guy who is incredibly, incredibly heady. And I think that Dorian Strong is a perfect schematic fit for what Sean likes to do defensively. He plays a lot of cover three, and Dorian Strong was really, really good with outside and high leverage and being able to play in that cover three role and be able to match guys and be able to jump passing lanes. And that's exactly what they want from their corners. And so getting him in round six, it, for me, is an absolute spike. I'm giving this class an A.
Yeah, period. I mean, I love Jordan Hancock. I think they got a really strong nickel right there. Jackson Hawes is just an ass kicker. So, like, I love that, too, to pair with Dalton Kincaid and Dalton Knox, who are both very much not so much that in the run game. And then Chase Lund, man, I really thought Chase Lund could go day two if he would have been held. Like, he hurt his ankle in the bowl game and then wasn't able to go to the Senior Bowl and wasn't able to test at the combine. And I really thought, like, if he were healthy and able to do that, we would have been talking about Chase Lund at day two just because he's such a good athlete. And now Buffalo lands an awesome swing tackle behind two really awesome starters and Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown here in round six. Like, this is a great day three haul. Great day three haul. I'm going to go with like an A- on this draft.
Yeah. And Prather's not a bad player either.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Next up, we have the New York Football Jets. I know that's not their actual nickname, but we have the Jets. Not many picks here. And nothing after round five. So, I mean, let's talk about it because we know the names.
They smoked the first three rounds, dude.
Yeah. They got exactly what they got exactly what they needed in the first three rounds. Arian Smith can't catch the football, but dang, he can get open. He is incredibly athletic. Malachi Moore, I've been singing his praises all year this year. He's somebody who I've kind of like Princely Umemelin, like kind of just waiting for him to get it. And I feel like he did finally get it this year. I didn't watch a single second of Francisco. I'm not going to lie to you at all. But he played in front of or behind Tyler Barron, who is as stiff as an absolute board. But big body, kind of powerful. It maybe can give you some snaps, but I don't know.
His meds are pretty steep. They're pretty steep too. He's got a pretty bad medical background, but yeah. Starting the draft with Armon Memau, Mason Taylor, and Azaria Thomas is just like, all right, especially when we were like, oh, they're going to go Tyler Warren in the first round. And that's not to say that Mason Taylor is anywhere near Tyler Warren or even the same type of tight end, but then they come back and they get the best tight end they can at 42. Like I think that's an excellent fit. And I think the ways that Mason Taylor wins with the fluidity, you know, he wins on a lot of like corners and outs and along the boundary a lot. And Justin Fields is going to be rolling a lot. He's going to be rolling out a lot. He's going to be extending toward the boundary a lot. I think Mason Taylor is going to be one of those instinctive, intangibly rich tight ends who's just going to find his quarterback, find green grass, present a number, and catch the football.
He has really good sideline awareness too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I love that fit. Azaria Thomas, if there's one head coach that you could pair Azaria Thomas with, who is just going to let Azaria Thomas play the way that Azaria Thomas has won, and that's just sitting in press man and beating the crap out of people at the line of scrimmage, it's probably Aaron Glenn. So, like, I think that's a pretty good fit there, too, for Azaria Thomas. I don't love the day three picks. You know, Malachi Moore is just a pretty average athlete. Again, Arian Smith, fast and twitchy is all get out, but if he can catch the football, that's a good pick. I feel this feels like a pretty solid, like that in between stage between a B and a B plus, like an 86.5-87%.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a B. I'm gonna give it a B. I love Membau. I like Taylor. Lower on Thomas, but I think that like round three is fine value for Thomas. And then the rest of the guys for me just kind of went where they should have went from the guys that I watched. So,
Pairing Membau with Fashanu in back-to-back years, though, that's especially because Fashanu came in and he played well as a rookie. Like it was rough.
Once they actually put him in left Moses, tackle,
Right. Morgan Moses, twisted his ankle week two or something like that, week one, and he had to play right tackle, which wasn't his natural position early on. But
yeah,
Fashanu and Membau is a nice little duo there. All right.
The Patriots
leaves the New England Patriots, who made out like bandits in this draft class. My goodness. Will Campbell, Trevion Henderson, Kyle Williams, Jared Wilson, Craig Woodson, Joshua Farmer, Braden Swinson, Andreas Borgalis. That's fine. Marcus Bryant, who you had some love for. Julian Ashby is, again, the second specialist, and Kobe Miner, who I'm not going to pretend I even watched a second of his tape. Those first five rounds, though, man.
I don't think this is the best class I've seen, though. There's so many great, like, they are the number one graded team. And I think that there's two or three that we've graded already that I like more.
Wow. Okay.
Like, I think the Browns drafted better. It's just like, I mean, when you get to pick from 75 names, when you have 75 picks, you're going to spike on some of them. You know, you're going to pick a couple good football players. I do think that they picked two really good football players at the top. And they picked one at a position they absolutely needed with Will Campbell. Travion Henderson is somebody who we both adored and fits the Patriot way in the way that he plays. And not just the way that he plays, but like his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, which in the Josh McDaniels offense is going to be really, 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 really big, even though Drake May can sling it. I think Kyle Williams pick is kind of sneaky good in round three. Jared Wilson's all right. Joshua Farmer, I don't mind that value. Swenson, I like that value. But there was stuff with Swenson that came up, right?
Not really. No.
I thought something happened with him that made him drop. Because I thought he was going to be a day two guy.
I thought he was too.
Yeah. But Marcus Bryant, kind of ugly, not a great athlete, but he beat people up when I watched him on the opposite side of Armon Membau, you know, especially in that Texas A&M game. I thought he played pretty well against South Carolina, and those two, some really, really good pass rushers. I think it's a pretty solid draft overall. Like, I'm not even going to give this an A. I'm going to give it a B+. Like, it's good, but it doesn't knock my socks off with a 3.67 GPA. I mean, they got A's or B's from everyone except for Thor. I mean, Thor's the only grader here that it actually graded teams difficultly. Yeah. So it makes sense, but like, yeah, they only had five B grades and the rest were A's. And the C plus from Thor.
Those first four picks. And then the Farmer Swenson, man. Early day three. That's a good draft. I'm going to go like.
It's again, good.
A minus and an A. Like again, like a 93.5% here.
If we're it's grading. Good, but yes. Like I guess maybe I'm just lower on Williams and Wilson.
You might be.
Like, it's just they're just okay. Like, for me, like, you need to spike round three for me to give you that A grade. And I think it just did all right.
Fair. That's valid. I can respect that.
But if you put Braden Swenson there, I'm still giving it a B.
Yeah. I can respect it. All right. Well, that's the AFC North, or AFC North, AFC East.
Yeah, man, AFC East.
I'm all sorts of turned around here.
There are three teams in the North there, but it's more the Northeast.
Yeah. So we have one more AFC team to go. Wait, jeez. AFC Conference. Division. AFC Division.
Wow, there we go. My goodness,
dude. AFC Division to grade here with the AFC West, and then the four NFC divisions to grade.
Bingo!
So yeah, we've got content planned out here for at least another week, ready to roll for you guys here. So again, if you want to listen to AFC North, AFC South, and we've got those episodes up already as well. But yeah, we got through that one pretty quick. Dalton, do you have anything else to add?
I don't. I'm exhausted. My body is definitely starting to feel this calorie deficit and the weight loss. It's definitely starting to feel it a little bit. And the lack of sleep, because I have not been sleeping well the past couple of nights. So it's all coming together. We're fighting through it.
Yeah, you can't do that. You got to go to bed. Yeah. So with that being said, it's Dalton's bedtime. So we're going to go ahead and get on out of here. So until next time, this has been another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. Bye-bye.